Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 90th weekly episode of this series, Land of Light, in which we present to you the account of the plot of the pagan Arabs to murder the Prophet of Islam and how God Almighty saved him. Mecca remained a city of polytheists. It was a forsaken place. There was no sign of dynamism or enthusiasm. It seemed that though it was the city of the dead, many families had lost their associates and many homes had lost their neighbors. For some time, several of the persecuted neo-Muslims, fed up with the oppression of the pagan Arabs, were leaving for the safety of Yathrib. Still, many Muslims remained in Mecca, as well as were Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. On a sunny afternoon, under the blistering heat, Quraysh had convened a meeting of representatives of some of their clans, such as the Bani Abdushams, Bani Nufal, and Bani Makhzum. There was a stranger among them, a man with a wrinkled face, a long grey beard, and fiendish eyes which betrayed concealed mischief. Although he was a stranger, he somehow seemed familiar for the attendants. The Quraysh pagans welcomed him as if they had known him for years. He introduced himself as chieftain from Najd, the desert interior of the Arabian Peninsula, where the manners of the people were as harsh as the barren landscape, without the least humanitarian sentiments in them, as if they were devil incarnate. It seemed the Quraysh were mesmerized by this Najdi, to the extent he appeared as the host rather than the guest. A Qurayshite said,
"In the past, the Quraysh were highly honored by Arab tribes until a man from the monotheist Hashemite clan started preaching against our idols, saying that God is one and only, and he is the prophet with the universal message of Islam. Now his disciples, who call themselves Muslims, are slowly migrating towards Yathrib and have set their hopes on the people of that city. Soon they will gain strength in Yathrib. The solution is that a man should rise from among us and secretly kill this prophet so that our gods would be saved from his preaching."
The Finnish-looking person from Najd said,
"The Hashemite clan will kill the killer in retaliation. The payment of blood money will not satisfy them. In such a case, is any one of you prepared to die?"
No one said a word. A while passed by when a person from the Quraysh spoke out.
"Instead of killing this prophet, let us imprison him."
The Najdi said,
"In such a case, how would the Hashemite clan react? Wouldn't such measures only lead to confrontation and bloodshed?"
Every one of them expressed their viewpoints and different approaches. However, the Finnish-looking Najdi dismissed their suggestions until Abu Jahl said,
"The right approach is that each of our clans should nominate a representative and all these assailants should storm into Muhammad's house and participate in his murder. In this way, his killer will not be a lone person, but several individuals, which means the Hashemite clan would find itself confronting the entire tribe. It would be impossible for them to fight all of us at the same time, and they would have no choice but to agree to a meager amount of blood money.
At this, the Finnish-looking man from Najd, in a satanic gesture, nodded his head in approval of Abu Jahl's suggestion. Other pagan Arabs also lauded Abu Jahl and happily headed home. Was this Najdi, Lucifer in human form? While the pagan Arabs of Mecca were plotting against the life of the Prophet of Islam, the Archangel Gabriel conveyed the message of God to him in the form of the 30th ayah of Surah Anfal of the Holy Quran. When the faithless plotted against you to take you captive, or to kill or expel you, they plotted an Allah devised. And Allah is the best of devisers. After conveying this message, the Prophet was instructed to secretly head for Yathrib, undetected by the Arab assassins hovering around his house. The Prophet should leave his house late in the night in such a manner that polytheists would not realize they have waited pointlessly to entrap him, while the murderous assailants, chosen from different clans, were polishing their swords. The Prophet knew that the only person firm of faith in God and courageous enough to face the assailants hovering around his house by staying in his bed this crucial night till the break of dawn to give the impression that their target was still asleep was his dearest cousin and ward, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Moreover, the Prophet, who as Amin or trustworthy, was entrusted with a number of properties and belongings of the people of Mecca for safekeeping, knew that, except for Imam Ali, peace be upon him, none of his companions were aware of the details of the things entrusted to the Prophet for safekeeping by the Meccans, and thus should return to each and every one whatever he or she had entrusted. So the Prophet called his dear cousin and confided to him that he was leaving Mecca. The Prophet said,
"Dear Ali, my God has ordered me to leave home and head for Mecca by spending the night and the subsequent day in Cave Thur. But I should leave my house undetected by the assassins hovering."
Imam Ali then said,
"Would your life be safe, O Messenger of God, if I substituted for you in your bed tonight?"
"Yes, O dear cousin."
Imam Ali, who was gladdened by the Prophet's remarks, volunteered to save the life of the Prophet by risking his own life, and subsequently prostrated to God as a sign of gratitude. The Prophet embraced Imam Ali and instructed him, hand over to the owners the things they had entrusted to him as safekeeping, and then join him in Mecca by escorting his dear daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. At the break of dawn, 40 men stormed into the Prophet's house from four sides, while Imam Ali had covered himself with the Prophet's mantle. The sounds of assailants' footsteps could be heard, as well as the ringing of steel as they pulled out their swords. As the attackers pulled the mantle from the face of the sleeping person, in order to carry out their foul deed, to their surprise, they found it was not the Prophet, but his brave and valiant cousin, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Tell us, where is your cousin?
Imam Ali replied,
Did you entrust him to me?
The cowardly would-be assassins, unable to face the young and brave Imam, and also not lose any time in finding their intended target, fled the Prophet's house and informed the ringleaders of the failure of the murderous plot. Meanwhile, Archangel Gabriel descended upon the Prophet with Ayah 214 of Surah Baqarah, conveying God's praise and approval for the almost self-sacrificing act of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is most kind to his servants. The Prophet, while secretly traveling towards Cave Thur in the mountain outside Mecca, heard footsteps as if someone was following him. He turned around and it was Abu Bakr. It was not clear why he was following him. The Prophet, aware of the weakness of this person, deemed it wise to take him along in order to avoid possible betrayal in case the pagans pressured him to disclose the whereabouts of the Prophet. Meanwhile, the ringleaders of the pagan Arabs of Mecca launched a manhunt to locate the Prophet. They set prizes and began a massive search in all directions, especially the northern road leading towards Yathrib. However, upon God's instruction, the Prophet had headed south and sought shelter in Cave Thur. The pagans employed expert pathfinders who could trace the footprints of each and every person. A party of these trackers found footprints resembling the Prophet heading towards the southerly direction out of Mecca. This group traced the footprints towards the mountain and approached Cave Thur. The searcher addressed his companions.
It seems someone might have entered this cave.
How could anyone enter this cave while a spider web, which is unbroken, covers the entire mouth of the cave?
Moreover, A pigeon is hatching its eggs at the entrance of the cave, which presents the picture of an undisturbed place. So let's not waste our time here and let us go in other directions before the prophet has time to escape.
In this manner, they headed away from the cave and moved the other way in order to keep up with the other searchers in their sinister efforts to find the prophet. Dear listeners, do not forget to listen to the rest of the story next week. God bless you and goodbye.